Dana White joins us on Sports Byline. He's the president of the Ultimate Fighting Championship. And, of course, they have a big event coming up tonight on FX, which we'll talk about in just a second. But, Dana, I've watched this UFC grow. Take me back to the beginning, what you saw, what you liked about it, and what was your philosophy and thoughts about developing the UFC?
Well, I've been in the fight business since I was 19 years old. I was involved in boxing. And once I got to fast forward, I moved to Boston right after high school. Grew up in Vegas, moved to Boston, was involved in boxing back there, came back to Las Vegas in 1995, and hooked up with one of the guys I went to school with, Lorenzo Fertitta. And him and his brother Frank owned Station Casinos, which is the fourth largest gaming company in the country. And at that time, Lorenzo had just gotten on the Nevada State Athletic Commission. They regulate boxing, mixed martial arts, combat sports. And, we were training together and doing stuff. And at the time, we had talked about getting involved in professional boxing. So one night, his brother Frank and I were out at the Hard Rock, and we bumped into a guy named John Lewis, who was, had fought in the UFC and was a real good ground game guy, jiu-jitsu guy. And Frank says to me, "I've always wanted to learn jiu-jitsu, the ground game." And I said, "Me too." We went over. I introduced Frank to him. We talked. Well, long story short, Lorenzo came on the Monday. We all started training. We fell in love with jiu-jitsu. Through jiu-jitsu, we started to meet some of these guys that had fought in the UFC. And that's what really blew us away. As we started to meet these guys, 90% of these guys are college educated, really smart guys, super talented athletes, and real good people. I mean, just good people. So we became, totally enthralled in the sport. We were in love with it. I actually started to manage a couple of fighters, Tito Ortiz and Chuck Liddell. I got into this huge contract battle with the old owner of the UFC, lasted about a year on Tito's contract. And through that, I found out that they were in trouble and that they were going out of business. So at the time, the Fertitta brothers were in Florida. I called them up and said, "Hey, guys, this thing's in trouble. It's going out of business. I actually think we can buy it." A month later, we owned the UFC. We bought it for $2 million. That's the short version of the story.
Tell me what it is about the sport, the Ultimate Fighting Championship sport, that is appealing to fans, because it's something that really does grab fans. When I talk to them, I see them get as excited about UFC as I see them get excited about the NFL.
Yeah, it's very addicting. It's hard to explain. It's like when we got involved in it, we became very addicted. And that's one of the things we asked ourselves. Are we really that different than everybody else that other people wouldn't feel this way about it too if it was marketed the right way, packaged and presented the way that it should be? Because this isn't a freak show like people thought it was. It's actually an amazing sport that people become very attracted to. The other thing that we figured was, think about this, right? Nothing in this country is bigger than the NFL. The NFL is huge. And I don't care if you didn't watch one football game all season, everybody watches the Super Bowl. They've been spending billions of dollars trying to break into all these other countries around the world, and it's just not working. And the reason is people didn't grow up playing it, they don't really understand the rules, and they're never going to be invested in the teams. People in Europe could care less about the New York Giants or the New England Patriots, etc. But I take two guys, I put them in an octagon, and they can use any martial art they want. It transcends all cultural barriers, all language barriers, because I don't care what color you are, what country you come from, or what language you speak, we're all human beings. Fighting's in our DNA, man. We get it, and we like it.
Dana, one of the things that you have done, and I'd be interested in how you developed it, you mentioned about the packaging and the marketing of UFC. And when you look at it, if you look at it in its barest essentials, it is kind of brutal to some degree. But you've been able to market it and package it and present it to make it inclusive instead of exclusive. How did you go about doing that?
The biggest problem about it early on was there were a lot of misconceptions about the UFC, a lot of fairy tales, because that was the sensationalism of the old owner. The old owner said, "It's the most brutal, bloody, violent sport in the world. Two men enter the cage, one man leaves." If you would ask people back in the old days if people die in the Ultimate Fighting Championship, they'd say absolutely yes. Yeah, people die in that. There's never been a death or serious injury in the 20-year history of the UFC. Never been a death or serious injury in 20 years of the sport. Cheerleading can't say that, okay? But the sensationalism that the old owner used, almost like a freak show, because this guy never in a million years thought he was creating a sport. He was going to do a couple of one-off no rules pay-per-view fights, you know, and make a few bucks and thought that would be it. The guy never in a million years thought that he was creating a sport, and that's what he did. Because the question that they were asking when they did the first UFC is, which fighting style is the best? Would a karate guy beat a kung fu guy? Would a wrestler beat a boxer? The answer to that question ended up being, no one style is the best. You had to have a little piece of everything to be a complete fighter, and an entire new martial art was created. You realize, back in the day when you and I were growing up, your mother would put you in karate or taekwondo or something like that. All over the world right now, what kids are taking all over the world is mixed martial arts, the new martial art.
The other thing, too, is that important to the presentation of a sport is the developing of personalities. That is always an enhancing aspect. You've done that with your fighters, in a sense. What was the philosophy in developing the personalities so that the fans related not only to the sport but also to their favorite fighter?
Well, that's another great thing about the athletes that I was mentioning. First of all, every guy has a different story. If you look at boxing, boxing had the same exact story. I came from the mean streets of such and such. If it wasn't for boxing, I'd be dead or in jail. That was every guy's story in boxing. In this sport, these guys are college educated, you know, they're family men. We got Matt Hughes, who was a farm boy from down in Illinois. You got Chuck Liddell, this guy who, you know, take Chuck Liddell, for instance. He's a perfect example. The guy who was pretty much our poster boy for the first 10 years, right?
Right.
Became a huge star for us. Chuck Liddell has a mohawk with Chinese writing down the back of his head, right? And he's got this goatee like you'd see on a motorcycle guy. You know, he looks like an axe murderer. He's a scary looking guy. If you said that guy's an ultimate fighter, you'd say, damn right he is. He looks like an ultimate fighter. He graduated from Cal Poly with honors in accounting. He's got an accounting degree from Cal Poly. He graduated with honors. I mean, these are the kind of guys that we were dealing with, and every guy had his own. So it wasn't about fabricating some kind of storylines behind the guys. They all had unique individual stories. And what we did was, you know, boxing. Back in the day, I became a huge boxing fan because I used to watch all the big fights on ABC's Wide World of Sports. Big fights were always on ABC's Wide World of Sports. Then, when I was about 19 years old, USA's Tuesday Night Fights had an unbelievable show where it was all the best up-and-coming talent. Then came the pay-per-view model. When pay-per-view came out, all these boxing guys, being the greedy pigs that they are, started just, everything went on pay-per-view. Nothing ever on free TV anymore. So your fan base, picture me spreading my arms as wide as I can. My fan base went from that to now spreading your fingers as close together as you can. That's how much their fan base has dropped over the last 40 years. We did the exact opposite. We started putting great fights on free TV again, exposing people to the product. And here's the thing about our product, too. You think you like watching it on TV? It's great. It comes off very well on TV. Wait till you go to a live event. The live event is off the charts. And I'm the owner, so I'm a little biased here, but I'm just saying, it is one of the greatest live sporting events you will ever see. And that's why we sell so many tickets, and that's why people are so pumped. I've never had anybody, a television executive, a sponsor, ever walk out of that arena after an event and go, yeah, I'm never coming and watching this again.
Dana, when you take a look at the competitors in this, you know, you already pointed out that they're educated. They come from different backgrounds. These are not thugs in any particular way. And I'm just wondering, what do you find is the motivation, generally speaking, of why these competitors are in this particular sport?
Yeah, because a lot of these guys came from, like you said, they wrestled in high school, then into college. Some guys were Olympic alternates, things like that. Like Ronda Rousey, we just started a new women's division. A girl named Ronda Rousey. She's been doing judo since she was 6 years old. She went to Beijing and got a medal in the Olympics. And then after she was done with the Olympics, she wanted to continue to be a professional athlete. But what does she do with a judo medal? You know what I mean? Well, now she's gotten into mixed martial arts. She's a huge superstar. She's got 9 fights. She's undefeated. In 9 fights, her fights have lasted a total of 9 minutes and 25 seconds. But that's the norm here. And think about this. If you were a young guy and your parents had you in taekwondo or karate or something like that, that's not cheap. Those things are expensive. So you have these people that are professional athletes, well-educated, and are competitors. They're fighters. That's who they are. That's what they were born to do. And now at the UFC, they have the ability to remain not only professional athletes, but now make millions of dollars.
What is Dana White's vision for the UFC, say, over the next 5 to 10 years, Dana?
It's the same vision I had the day we bought this company, and it's to build a sport. And to build a sport, what that really means is everybody plays by the same rules all over the world. The same game of soccer we play here in the United States is the same game that's played worldwide. And right now, think about this, just to show you where we've come from. When we bought this company for $2 million 13 years ago, it was going out of business. It was going bankrupt. The first show that we ever did, this thing, you want to know how bad it was? This thing was not allowed on pay-per-view. Porn is on pay-per-view. The UFC was not allowed on. And our goal was to get it onto free television. People thought we were insane and it would never happen. Right now, we're in 175 countries in 23 different languages and over a billion homes worldwide on television.
Tell me a little bit about the event tonight on FX, the UFC Ultimate Fighter event.
The Ultimate Fighter reality show is one of the longest-running reality shows on television. It's really how we got started with the UFC. We got it on television, the thing took off, and it's what we do. It's the show that builds new talent. We bring in, 32 guys. They fight their way into the house. Then it gets cut up into two different teams, and they're led by coaches who are legendary guys in the UFC, and one guy wins a contract at the end of the season. And this is one of our best seasons ever. The talent is unbelievable. Johnny Bones Jones, who's our light heavyweight champion, against his biggest nemesis, Chael Sonnen, coaching against each other. And tonight, what everybody's fired up tonight is, I said, it's one of the most vicious knockouts I've ever seen in combat sports tonight. On FX, 9 o'clock.
One of the things I always like to ask somebody, an athlete, is there a particular memory that's vivid in your mind, one thing? And I have to ask you that because you've been in with this. You've kind of raised this baby, in a sense, and turned it into what it is today. Is there one particular moment, Dana, that's vivid in your mind?
There's been so many for me because when you take a company like this that was bankrupt and get it to where we are today, milestones, there's been so many milestones, it's unbelievable. But certain things that pop out, obviously when we first started, got our show on TV and it started pulling great ratings, then our first cover of Sports Illustrated. Me and my partner were in New York when our first Sports Illustrated cover came out, and we literally walked around with it in our hand the entire day and kept going pow and showing each other the cover of the Sports Illustrated. But the number one biggest thing that we've ever done, any, you know, you and the listeners right now that have heard the story from the beginning to here know where I said we weren't even allowed on pay-per-view. So obviously the biggest milestone for us and the greatest achievement in my entire career to this date is getting our Fox deal.
Dana, I want to thank you very much because I've been looking forward to hearing the story about the UFC and learning how you did it. And I know there are a lot of fans, particularly the servicemen and servicewomen, that get to hear us around the world each night on the American Forces Network. So, again, thank you for giving us some time here on Sports Byline. You are welcome here anytime, Dana.
It's my pleasure, sir, and thank you for all the kind words. I appreciate it.
Dana White with us again, the president of the Ultimate Fighting Championship, that event on FX tonight at 9 p.m. We continue across the country and around the world with you on Sports Byline.